Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Welcome to 2019 Christ Fellowship. Come on. Yeah. Anybody think I lost the bet today? Ouch. Well, I didn't lose a bet. Anybody think I'm boycotting my Buckeyes now that Urban Meyer's not there? Anybody think that might be the thing? You know, a new team does not come with a new year, and so I'm not going to fool you. I'm wearing this for one reason today. It's because our family here at Christ Fellowship and actually just a good friend of mine, Jason Boyd, our worship leader, his father, after an eight-year battle with ALS, passed away this last week. And on January 1st, he went from in a wheelchair to walking into the presence of Jesus. And he is whole today, tons of peace today, seeing his maker face to face. And last night we had an incredible service where we celebrated his life, his legacy, took a lot of joy. It was a great day. A lot of orange here in this place because he was a huge Volunteer fan. And so my last opportunity to really to take a step and honor him, because I'm going to miss him. Every third service he was sitting down here with Lisa there, down there, and he was sitting right beside her in his wheelchair. And I'm going to tell you, they were so faithful to be here and part of this body, and he would listen to my messages, he would encourage me, and I'm going to miss him. A huge part of our family is gone, and today we step out of here, and we come together as a family, and we bury him, and yet we still have hope, right? Like, we don't mourn with those that have no hope. We have hope, even though we still mourn. Like, we have a loss, but our hope is that one day we're going to be standing. That's right, standing, not sitting, right, Lisa? Standing beside him, praising Jesus together, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be so good, and so today is my opportunity just to honor him and to raise awareness of ALS, because it is a brutal disease and needs a lot more emphasis on it. And so this is why I'm wearing this shirt. And I am going to take a hot shower after this. I am. Lye soap is ready. And no, just playing. Just playing with you. Hey, we're starting a new series as we head into this. Actually, before we do that, let me tell you, tomorrow is a big day. Big day, because we are starting our corporate fast. And it's called Withhold to Behold. As Ray talked about, there's a website. If you have not been to the website, I'm asking you to go to the website, withholdtobehold.com. Super short, easy to get there. I put a video on there that tells a little bit about the heart, how to go about a fast. There's some frequently asked questions on there that will help you understand. And as I've been chatting with people, I don't know what I was saying there, but chatting with people, I've been hearing different things people are fasting. Some social media, some food, some kinds of food. Some of you have said other things. My kids came to me after they heard me preach last week and said, "Daddy, I was so moved by your message on fasting that I'm going to fast green beans." And no, you're not. Nope, try again. You're going to eat double now. Some of you have said you're going to fast from exercise. Nope, don't do it, right? Let me just be clear, though, is there is no pressure to do a certain thing, okay? Can we just say, man, if fasting leads you to feel pressure, then you are doing it wrong, okay? I want you to hear that there is tons of freedom in this fast. We're not telling you what to do, but here's my encouragement to you if you're figuring out what to fast to withhold from for 21 days, is it should be something that you feel, that you miss out on, that you should be a little bit of a challenge for you, okay? So green beans for my kids, they will be praising Jesus, but that's not what we're doing, right? So for you, what would it look like for you for 21 days to withhold, to fast from something that you really enjoy, that you really desire for 21 days, withhold from that so that you can get your eyes on Jesus, to behold him. Now, I just want to say this just to be clear. Some of us in this room should not fast from food, okay? You've got health things, and so I'm going to tell you, you do not have to fast from food, and some of us, it would be not wise to do so. And so I'm just going to ask you to be wise, but to also, man, set before the Lord and say, "God, what do you want me to give up? What do you want me to give up? What would it look like for 21 days for us to seek God?" Because that's the heart behind it, for us to begin to see God more clearly, become aware of his presence, and as we do that, fall in love with him. And so I'm looking forward to it. As you mentioned, we're going to start tomorrow with a devotional that we put together and some prayer prompts so we can all together be praying into and reading the same scriptures as we build community through this fast. And we're going to close it out on the 27th with an encounter night, a worship night that's going to be incredible. You're not going to want to miss it. Today, to coincide with our fast, I'm going to start a series that is entitled Fuel. And I was thinking, like, maybe I should walk out to Metallica. Anybody else like listening to that song? "Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that." No, I don't know about that. But anyhow, I was thinking about that. That's not my non-spiritual side, but maybe some spiritual in that. But I was thinking about fuel, and fuel really is something that is burn up and produces energy, right? It's what actually takes our cars places, and the type of fuel we put in our car matter. Now, if you drive a diesel, you know the type of fuel that you put in your diesel vehicle really matters, because you don't want to put gas in it, right? And so look at this text message my wife sent me a couple weeks ago. She was driving my truck and she said, "Hey, do you want me to get gas or do you want me to just wait till we come home?" And so I was like, any man, I said, we can get it. Or if you're close, you can get it, right? As a man, I would do that, right? And so she said, "I'll just get it." And then I get this text where I'm sitting in my dining room. She says, this is my wife. She says, "I just put regular gas in your diesel truck and it's running great. Who knew?" Some of you guys understand where I was at. Literally, I levitate off of my chair, grab my phone. My heart did not beat this whole time. I'm on the phone, like I'm trying to get to her to say, "Stop the truck. Don't, this is gonna cost me $10,000, babe. Like, stop the truck." And she answers the phone and she is laughing her butt off. That was low. And all any man, you know what you would be like in that moment. I know Tommy snaps up there. He drives a big diesel. He understands, right? Like, that crushed me for a second. And then I'm like, "You got me, babe. You got me," right? But what's the point of that? The type of fuel you put in matters. And for 2019, the type of fuel you use to propel you forward matters. 2019, you're going to move from where you are today and to go somewhere else. And the type of fuel that propels us forward is going to dictate where you go or how far you get. And so today we're going to start a series entitled Fuel. And what we're going to look at is what Jesus opened up with in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22. A lawyer came up to him and said, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment?" Now there were 613 commandments that Jesus could have chosen at this time, but this guy was wondering, like, what is the greatest commandment? I think we're going to have it up here, Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus responds and says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." He said, "This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to talk about what is fueling us as a church, because I think this year in particular, God is calling us as a church to get outside of our church walls. We are going to express the kingdom of God, the love of God, the power of God in very specific ways, way more than just when we gather together in this holy huddle on Sunday morning. Is anybody else excited about that? Because this right here is not the summation of our church. This is where we get together, we all get on the same page, we get charged up, we encourage one another, we build each other up in order to go into the world to express the king that we're following. And so this year, I believe we're going to step out and we're going to see God do incredible things in this house, but also out of this house, in our community, in our families, in our friend groups, wherever we have influence. We're going to see God and we're going to go that way. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If we're going to do that, we've got to be fueled by the right thing. And what we need to be fueled with is the same thing that Jesus was fueled by, which is love. So today, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be loved by God. Essential. If we don't know that we're loved by God, if we don't walk in the love of God, we can't go anywhere else, man. Don't even try to go out there because you're going to get blown away. We got to know that we're loved first. Next week, we're going to talk about what's it look like for us to love God. And that's a big thing. What's it look like for us to love God? And then the third week, we're going to say, what's it look like to love ourselves? Just right here. We can't love our neighbor until we love ourselves, right? And then we're going to say, after we've learned to receive God's love, after we respond to God's love, after we love ourselves, then we're called to love others, love our neighbor, love our enemies, love those outside of ourselves. And so this is where we're going over the next couple of weeks. And so I want to encourage you, if you come every 3 weeks, every other week, every 4 weeks, whatever, I'm going to encourage you just to be here for the first 4 or 5 weeks of 2019 and see what God wants to do in your life, what he wants to teach you, what he wants to show you, how he wants to fill you up with the power that he's promised us. And so that's where we're going today. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Jesus. You know, before he started his public ministry, he was baptized in the Jordan in water. And we're actually going to be baptizing a few people in a couple weeks. And so if you're a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, man, it's a first step of obedience to do so. And we have a celebration here when that happens. But Jesus, he let it out, and he was baptized in water and came out. And as he came out, this is what the Father said from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Before Jesus ever did anything, before he turned the water to wine, before he cast out demons, before he healed anybody, this is what the Father said. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Be loved." That's where I want to start today. Be loved. And today, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, open up to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be there as we start this morning, and we're going to jump around a few different places. So a few months ago, we were preparing for an Encounter Night service, which is our quarterly, maybe a little bit more frequently, that worship night, which I absolutely love. And we were preparing for that, and so a few of us were walking around. I think Richie was down here, and a few of us were walking around before, and we were just praying over the service and asking God questions like, "What do you want to do tonight? Anything we need to say tonight? Anything we need to share tonight?" And so we're just asking the Lord some things and telling him how much we love him. And it was in that, as I'm walking around, because I can't sit still very long and pray. Like, I just get either sidetracked or I fall asleep. And so I've got to be walking usually when I pray for a long time. And so I was walking around, and this phrase came to mind. And it was kind of just downloaded, and it was real simple. And some of you have heard this before. It was rest and receive, fall in love with me. I want you to write that down if you're taking notes. Or grab your phone and put that in your notes, because this is really important as we start 2019. Rest and receive, fall in love with me. And I felt like this is what God was calling me to rest, to receive from him, and to fall in love with the King. And that's what he taught me that night. And then I began to study more and more of what does it look like for Derek to rest? What's it look like for me to receive and to fall in love with King Jesus? What's that look like? And so as I began to study, I was drawn to Genesis chapter 1. And if you know anything about Genesis, if you've been around the world too long, you've heard about the creation story, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were there, always existing forever. It wasn't that Jesus somehow just magically appeared at Christmas. He actually came in bodily form, but Jesus has always been, okay? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were there before the world was ever created, and then they start creating out of nothing. God speaks the world into existence. And here are the days that we see in Genesis chapter 1. We see day 1, God separated light from darkness. Day 2, God separated the heavens from the earth. Day 3, the water and the earth and vegetation. Day 4, the sun and the moon. Day 5, God created the birds and the fish. And day 6, God created animals. And aren't we glad, East Tennessee, for that day 6? Like, it's a good day in the house when God creates us a steak, right? It's so good. So God created animals. And after the first 5 days, every time, God said this one thing. He said, "It is good." Meaning that God was pleased with what he had created from nothing. God was pleased. It is good. But on the 6th day, after he created animals as we know them, he then changed up things a little bit and kind of took up his creativity a little bit, and he crowned his creation with mankind. And if you have your Bible, I want you to look at verse 26. This is so crucial for us to see this morning. Verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him." Now, this is huge for our theology, huge for our understanding as a church, that we understand that every single person in this room is made in the image of God. That means every one of us has the fingerprint of God on us. Every one of us has the opportunity to represent Father, Son, Holy Spirit on this earth. Now, I just want you to take a second and look around. Just look around the room real quick. Don't make eye contact. It's kind of weird in church, but just look around. Just look around. Okay, some of you aren't looking around. I want you all to look around. Just look around. Every person in here is made in the image of God, every single one. And what God said after he made this creation in his image, he said something different than he said the first 5 days. On the 6th day, he said, "It is very good. I am exceedingly pleased with what I created." Now, what's interesting is on that sixth day, he created man and woman. They hadn't done anything yet. There were no scientific breakthroughs. There were no infrastructure built. There was no political systems put together. There was no discoveries. There was none of that. All they were was created, and they were being. And it was in that place that God looked at humanity, his creation, and his image, and said, "It is very good. I'm so pleased with what I made." Now, if we look to the next chapter, chapter 2, we get to day 7. And day 7, God does something interesting. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and follow along. It's also going to be on the screen. So 6 days God created. The sixth day, he created mankind. On the seventh day, though, we read in chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Now, I'm going to ask you to put on your thinking caps here for a second. Regardless of what you think of the age of the earth, whether you think it's like a new earth or think it's like billions of years old, I really don't get into that. Like, y'all can have that debate all you want. All I know is that there was a time period that is talked about here in Genesis. That there was a day, day 6, God created. On the seventh day, it says that God rested, not because he was tired, not because he was out of breath, but because he had done everything that was in his heart to do. It's finished. It's complete. Everything. It's very good. It was done. Now, what's interesting, that on the sixth day, he created man. On that next day, humanity sees God do something. They see God model rest the day after creating humanity, which is so important for us to see. So God said, "I'm very pleased with you. Day 1, you've done nothing, but I'm pleased with you." Same thing he said to Jesus, by the way. And then the next day, God says, "Adam and Eve, wake up. What are we going to do?" This is what we're going to do. We're going to rest. It's going to be. And it was in this resting on the seventh day, God modeled rest, but he also began to teach them to receive their identity, to receive the value he had for them, to receive his love. Rest and receive. Fall in love with me. And I think this is what God was teaching humanity from the very, very beginning. Now, we think of this story, and sometimes we just don't understand, and I don't understand often until I study it, that this story was a story that most theologians believe that Moses captured, that God gave Moses a revelation, and then Moses wrote down the first 5 books of the Bible and passed them on, probably verbally. And so the first 5 Bibles, most theologians believe that Moses actually had this revelation from God far after creation, okay? So if you ever wondered how did we write about this creation when there was nobody there, well, we believe that God gave this to Moses and he wrote it down. Now, what's more interesting than that Moses wrote is, when did Moses actually share this with people on this earth? This is important for us to know. Now, for 400 plus years, the Israelites, God's people, were in bondage. They were in slavery in Egypt, right? And so as Moses was raised up by God, he said, "Let my people go." You know, Charlton Heston, you know. He said, "Let my people go." And 10 plagues later, Pharaoh finally relinquishes and he allows the Israelites to go. And they're headed to the promised land that God had given them, right? And they were following Moses. And so most theologians believe that this story that we just read of creation was first shared in the midst of their departure from Egypt. Now, why is that important? Because of this. Because in Egypt, for 400 plus years, they were in slavery. All they knew was slavery. Their granddaddy's daddy, you get the picture, only knew slavery. And so guess what? They had adopted a mindset of slavery. And what is a mindset of a slave, specifically in Egypt? I am what I produce. It's how many bricks can I produce today? That's how I'm valued. That's where I see that I fit into culture. This is what I'm called to do. And if I don't produce enough bricks, if I don't up my game, I'm going to be taken out, next guy up. So their thinking as a slave was, I am what I produce. And God is trying to get this mentality out of them, trying to get them to see they are not what they produce. And I'm going to tell you, we struggle with this very same slave mentality. The church has done a terrible job of making people feel like they are what they produce. And this is what I think God wants you to know today, The same thing that he told the Israelites is, you are not what you produce. God's love is not based upon how you produce. His love is not based on you doing the right things and not doing the wrong things. His love is much bigger than that. His love is not based on how many times you come to church or how many little times that you cuss. He loves you because he is love. And you are made in his image. And he values you. You matter to God. You are valued by God. You are desired by God. And I think that's the message that God wants you to rest in this morning. He loves you, not based on what you do or don't do, but because he made you in his image, and therefore you are valued, and he loves you. He loves you. And Paul spent much of his time in the letters that he wrote to churches early on in the church. And one of those letters that he wrote to the church was to church in Rome. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and flip open to the New Testament now. We're going to be sitting in Romans here for just a few moments. And what we see in Romans chapter 5 is a continuation of Paul's desire to make sure we know that the love that God has for us is not dependent upon us doing something. It's based upon who we are as created in God's image. And so we pick up in chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. We see chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Do you know what we just read? Somebody get excited about this. I'm going to read this again. I want you to hear this. It says, "But God shows his love for us in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Translated, when you were at your worst, God gave you his best. I want you to think about this today. Think about the worst day you've ever had, like the most heinous thing you've ever done. That day, that time, that moment, that ick you felt when you were doing that thing or thinking those thoughts or carrying out, that moment is what God came to die for so that he could restore you back to the Father. That's how much he loves you. When you were at your worst, he gave you his best. This is the love of God. And it's not dependent upon you. This is our response, and this is what we're called to do. This is your part. You ready for this? Our role as children of God is to learn to receive from God. If there was one word I had to say that I've learned and that I think all of us need to learn in 2019, is how do we receive? How do we receive from God? This is what Paul writes to the Ephesians. He says, listen, this salvation that you have, it's not based on anything you've done. It's by faith. The grace has been poured out so that no one can boast, right? What is Paul reiterating? It's not based on you. It's not based on your good or bad. It's not based on your moral character. It's based on that God loves you. And what is your job? To receive. Now, as I was thinking about this week, that is a foreign concept to most of us. How do we receive love? And so yesterday, my youngest 7-year-old boy, he had a birthday. He turned 7 yesterday. And we celebrated all day long. I mean, we had the gifts out. From when he woke up, my kids and I, we make posters and draw pictures on the wall. So when he wakes up, he sees them all as he walks down the hallway. And then he has gifts, and we open up a little bit of time because we're those kind of parents. We're like going to torment you a little bit, not all at once, just little by little. We're going to let him out just a little bit at a time. And he woke up, and he wanted to go to Waffle House. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. It's so good. This guy has hope. And then he's like, I want to go to Chick-fil-A for lunch. I'm like, man, this kid is going to love Jesus like no other, right? And then dinner time, I'm like, hey, man, you can go anywhere in the world. Like anywhere you want to go in Kingsport, I'll take you. Let's go to a nice sit-down restaurant. And he chose fast food with a burger. I don't even tell you where it is. I was like, are you kidding me? Maybe there's not hope. I don't know. But anyhow, we had a phenomenal day. We celebrated him so well, and we love him. And his name is Jet, and he lives into that name, man. He is full on life. He has fasted everything that he does. But as I'm studying and preparing this message today about resting and receiving, I was thinking about this when I was watching my son receive his gifts. This is what I know about my son, is that he asks me all the time. Like leading up to his birthday, he asked me for so many different things for his birthday. Ask me. And then the day of, you know how often he asked me to open up more gifts? I can't even tell you the number, right? It's so annoying, right? You just keep asking. And then once we began to open up the gifts, he would look at the gifts. We had them out on the table all for him to see, and he would begin to look at them. He would see them with his eyes. And he began to salivate, I think, inside. Like, he's like, I can't wait. Like, he's trying to picture what this is. And then we'd give him and he'd look at it. And then he would unwrap it. And as he unwrapped it, he didn't just keep looking at it. He was full-on, hands-on, began to experience that gift. And the verse that Jesus says that if you want to enter in the kingdom of God, you got to be like a child. I think we could learn so much from that in 2019. Like, what's it look like for you to walk as a child in relationship with the King? My son taught me something yesterday of what it looks like to receive, and I want to share this with you. And so if we're going to receive the love of God, I think it's these three same components. Number one, we got to ask him. We got to ask him to receive his love, to know his love. We've got to do this. Why? Because when we ask God, we get our eyes on him and our attention on him, and we draw near to him, right? My son's not yelling from the basement, "Dad, can I open up a gift?" No, he comes to me, looks me in the eye, and says, "Daddy, listen, I'm your youngest child, and you love me the most. Will you let me open up a gift?" And he's in my presence. Listen, this is what God wants for you in 2019. He wants you closer. He wants you to see him. He wants you to look into his eyes. He wants you to know him. And we know him by asking him. And so I'm telling you that if you want to know God's love, we got to start by asking him to know his love. Second thing is we got to actually see his love. See, this is the beauty of God. And Paul actually writes in a verse that I opened up with in 6. He says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Why did he give us that? For us to intellectually know, for us to see that God became flesh and dwelt among us and then died for us. We have to see to intellectually understand that God loves us. And so he gave us his son to show us. We've got to see his love. We've got to know his love. And we see it in Jesus, that he gave up his own life. But just like my son, if we would have had all those gifts out there on the table and we would have had him ask us and we would have said, "Man, we got you so many gifts." And then we would have let him see the gifts and maybe even let him unwrap them. But if we didn't actually let him experience it, that would have been evil, right? Some of you are like, "Man, that sounds like a good idea. I'll get my kids back." No, that's evil. God's the same way. He doesn't want us to just ask him. He doesn't want us to just intellectually arrive at this thought that says, "Man, God is love." He wants us to experience his love, hands on, day in and day out. This is what Paul writes in Ephesians 5. He says, "Listen, hope does not disappoint. But God has given us his Holy Spirit to pour out the Father's love into our hearts." Listen, I'm going to tell you, in 2019, God doesn't want you to just know about his love. That's good to know. It's good to see. But God wants you to experience his love firsthand, to have his love poured into your heart. And he says that we have that through the Holy Spirit that we've been given. A little bit later in Jesus' life, a little bit earlier, he was talking to some men and he said, "Listen, you guys are pretty evil," which, you know, I love that truth. Like, he would have been speaking to me. He said, "Listen, you guys are pretty evil. Yet you still know how to give good gifts. Like, I think I gave my kids some good gifts yesterday," right? He says, "You know how to give good gifts." He said, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who" what? "Ask him." There's that word ask. And when we ask him for the Holy Spirit, what did Paul say the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to pour out the Father's love into our hearts so that we can actually move his love from our brains to our hearts. And that, I'm telling you, friends, is how we're transformed. When his love is experienced. Experience it firsthand. This is how we do it. Rest and receive. Listen, there's nothing you're going to do in 2019 that's going to make God love you anymore. You just can't do it. There's nothing in 2019 that's going to make God love you any less. You can't do it. The question in 2019, though, is, are you going to receive his love? And are you going to rest in it? Because I'm telling you, when we rest and know that we're loved, when we receive his love, anything is possible in our life. We'll take risks. We'll share our faith. We'll pray for people. We'll change our workplaces when we first know that we are loved. Rest and receive. fall in love with me. We're going to continue this thought by taking communion. So I'm going to ask the communion team to go ahead and get up and start passing out the elements. And as they pass out the communion elements, I'm just going to ask you to take a piece of bread and take a cup. And I want you to hold on to it. And I want you just for a second, just consider what we just talked about, this love of God that's meant to be experienced, meant to be seen. And I'm going to even challenge you, invite you to, even while you're sitting there, just even ask, take that first step. God, will you show me your love even in this moment?